Good to be here this morning. If you'd like to open up your Bible to Daniel chapter 3. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day that you've given to us. We thank you for salvation, most of all, dear Heavenly Father. We're thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, dear Lord. We're thankful that he willingly laid his throne aside, laid his glory aside, and he came to this earth born as a baby. And dear Heavenly Father, he grew up, and dear Lord, he started his ministry. And dear Heavenly Father, for 3 years he preached his ministry. He preached and taught people and healed people and helped people and directed people, dear Heavenly Father. And dear Lord, he willingly went to a cross, dear Heavenly Father, and he willingly suffered the pains of death, dear Lord, for each and every one of us. And dear Lord, he was buried, and in 3 days he arose again. And dear Heavenly Father, that he sat on the right-hand side of the Father to make intercession for us, dear Lord, and we're so thankful for that. And dear Lord, we praise you for that and thank you for it. And dear Lord, we want to make you our Savior, dear Heavenly Father. We want to recognize you as our Lord, our Comforter, our Guide, our Rock, our Foundation. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for these things, dear Lord. We're thankful that we know that, dear Heavenly Father. And dear Lord, we want to be faithful to you and be true to you, dear Lord. We want to be pleasing to you, dear Heavenly Father. Dear Lord, that when you look upon each and every one of us, you can smile with approval of our lives, dear Lord. So we ask you to be with us, dear Lord, as we're here this morning. Dear Lord, as we look into the Word of God to see some stories that we're going to read here, familiar. And Lord, we ask you to be with each and every one of us to take the Word and the thoughts that we have there this morning, apply it to our lives, our hearts, and dear Lord, that they might help us to grow and be encouraged in living for you. And we'll certainly thank you for it. Anoint the Word, anoint me that I'll bring as you would have us to. In Jesus' name, amen. In Daniel chapter 3, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, many of us know it. We're just going to pick out some highlights throughout this whole chapter here. Picking up in verse 1, Daniel 3:1, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits and breadth a square cubic, and thereof 6 cubits, and he set it up on a plain of Dura, and the princes of Babylon, and Nebuchadnezzar the king set together the princes and the governors and the captains and the judges and the treasurers and the counselors and the sheriffs and all the rulers of the province to come in dedication to the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And the princes and the governors and the captains and the judges, the treasurers and the counselors and the sheriffs and all the rulers of the province were gathered together unto the dedication of the image of Nebuchadnezzar the king and set up. And they stood before the image of Nebuchadnezzar and set it up. I'm going to have to either get new glasses or a book, something. So we see that the beginning of the story, and as I read this sometimes, and I think about it sometimes, things haven't changed. King Nebuchadnezzar, he made an image. He made this image that he wanted everybody to worship, and he gathered all the important men together, the captains and the judges and the counselors and the sheriffs and the rulers. Same thing that people do today. They want to dedicate something. They want their name recognized, as I said a little bit ago, a legacy. They want their picture in the paper, that they're in the ribbon cutting. They're in the breaking of the ground of building somewhere. They want to be recognized in the world somehow. And I always think it's interesting you all have seen pictures on the news and things, and someone is, it could be the governor, the mayor, sheriff, someone of importance is there giving a speech or whatever, and they've always got people behind them. And sometimes they could be some young people or some completely unrelated people known in the world. But I thought, you know, that's the very first step of some people when they're trying to move up in the political world is to get into the picture of somebody that's important. Not that they say anything, not that they do anything, but they're in the picture. They're in the background.
And I know a little bit of some of it, you know, what I'm talking about. Of course, my former, the owner of the company that I work for, his son is a senator and things. And I've seen some of that revolve a little bit. And people, they want to be there. They want to be in the picture. That's just a stepping stone of moving up that way. And, of course, getting in the picture and then speaking and things. But Nebuchadnezzar had set this image up. And Nebuchadnezzar gathered all the counselors and the important men of the kingdom. Verse 4, then a herald cry aloud to you, to its command, O people of nation and language, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet and the flute and the harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whosoever falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at the time, we'll stop there at verse 6 here. So we see that as he made this decree and he made this image and he made the announcement, of course, the whole land. He says, when I set this image up, and he says, I'm going to play a group of instruments here, as he says there in verse 5. And he says, what I desire for everyone to do is to worship. Is to fall down and acknowledge what I have done. You know, I think about sometimes people want to make an image. You know, God is the only one that people should be worshiping. There is no other one. There is no other God. God is the only one. He made all this. He designed everything. He made you and I. He gave us life. God is the only God that will exist for all eternity. But people desire to have all kinds of images made that they make because in that day, it's not a God. It's what they have control over. So he made this image. He sets it up. He has them play all the instruments out across the nation and everything. And when they hear all these instruments, they're to bow down and to worship this image that Nebuchadnezzar has set up.
All but three men obeyed the image. All but three men, which were named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the word got back to Nebuchadnezzar that of all the people of the providence there, that these three particular men did not bow. It's amazing. I don't know how, I wanted to look it up this morning. I was looking at it. I didn't have time to look it up. I don't know how many people or how big this providence was, how many people were there. But I imagine it's several thousands of people. I don't know how many. But all these people, but three men, three particular men. And Nebuchadnezzar was in fury. Let's jump on down to verse 13. And Nebuchadnezzar, in a rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they brought these three men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship my golden image, which I have set up. Now if ye be ready at what time ye hear the sound of all these instruments, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We see the king here. In verse 19, he says he was in fury. He was mad. He was upset at these men. And one thing I always thought about this particular story here, you know, there was sometimes there was no mercy
with some kings and everything, they would just kill you. They would just do whatever they wanted to. But he gave him another opportunity. Still, I don't know if I should say another opportunity, or he just wanted them to yield to what he set up and things. He goes, is it true? He goes, I set up this image and you did not bow. He goes, now at this time, I'm going to do this again. I'm going to do it one more time. I'm going to play all these instruments for you. And if you bow before the image that I have set up, then everything will be well. But if you don't bow, he goes, I'm going to throw you this very hour into the fiery furnace that I've designed. Maybe he thought, maybe he didn't hear. Maybe he didn't understand. Giving him another opportunity. But he wanted them to yield there. And we see that he says there that he heated up the furnace. The Bible said he heated up that furnace 7 times hotter than it's accustomed to be heated up. Verse 21. Of course, we know the story as Shadrach, back up a little bit there in the latter part of what I just read. We know the story that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I didn't go over it too much here. But in verse 16, he says, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. How is your salvation this morning? Are you founded solid on the salvation? Or your salvation?
Yes.
Are you founded solid on Jesus Christ? Are you sure? See, we live in America. We live in a country where we're not faced with unusual situations. As I think Brother Bert mentioned, there's some places in the world. You do not have the privilege that we have today to come in to worship Jesus Christ freedom like this. We don't have this. Not everybody in the world has it. And us in America, we think that everybody does. You go somewhere and they don't. Or I know Brother Greg, I've been to the Philippines a couple times, and Brother Greg been there. I forget where they went to, the southern part of the Philippines. And he says they preached. There was people on the outside there with guns, machine guns, protecting them. And now they're not even allowed. I think the United States plus the Philippine government does not allow any Americans to go to that area because of the danger of it is to preach the gospel of Christ. So we kind of don't realize that. We think we're all in the whole world's in a cushy spot like we are. But it's not that way. But they knew Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It wasn't like, well, they didn't really know what was going to happen. They believed what the king said. They knew what he said was going to happen. And they said to him, they were very sure. They said, King, we are not careful how to answer you. God will deliver us. You can throw us into that furnace and God can deliver us. God has the ability to deliver us from that furnace. Or if he doesn't, we're going home to be with him. But let it be known, one thing, God will deliver us one way or another. But also let it be known, King, I think verse 18, O king, that we will not serve thy gods and will worship the golden image which thou set up.
Amen.
Serving Jesus Christ? Or are you serving something else? Let's jump down to verse 21. So the king took these men, and those men were bound in the coats and the hosen and the hat and other garments, and they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flames of the fire slew those men that took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Going down to verse 27. And Shadrach, and Nebuchadnezzar, verse 24, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, arose in haste, and spake, and said unto the counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? And answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servant of the Most High God, come forth, come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire, and the princes and the governors and the captains and the counselors and gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was the hair of their heads singed, neither were their coats charred, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Some years ago, when we were in Sunday school and we were doing classes as a group, I did this story with the children one time. And how many of you have been around a campfire? We all used to get, we used to have campfires every once in a while. Church get together and have campfires. You went home, you smell like smoke. You could take your clothes off and put them on, your hair smell like smoke. Everything smelled like smoke. And I took a shirt, I took it home, and I took a shirt and I put it in a plastic bag and I lit a fire and I let the smoke go in there and close it up when I brought it in here the next morning for the children trying to. I said, see, that there wasn't any fire at the time, but the shirt still smelled like smoke. You just can't get it out. I mean, you wash it and things, but it doesn't go away. And so as the king threw these three men into the fire, and the Bible here said that the men that held them, that cast them into the fire, the flames of the fire consumed, killed those men. Amen. The heat. They didn't even go into the furnace. The flames themselves, I've been around sometimes flames where it will, you can be 5 feet from it, and it sends a hair on your arms. But that fire killed those men. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Bible says they fell into the middle of the fire, the furnace, and bound up, they were on the ground. But God burned them robes up, burned those things up that were bound, and the fire didn't touch them. And the most important part of this whole story is that the king, he looked in, he had enough understanding, and if you read that again, the king looked up and he asked his counselors, did not we send three men into that fiery furnace bound up? Why do I see four men and the fourth man is looking, it looks like the Son of God. Amen. And in my Bible, I mentioned this years ago, almost right across the page from there, when Nebuchadnezzar said that, verse 25, and the form, we'll read the whole verse, and he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Earlier in the story, Nebuchadnezzar asked Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, if you don't fall down and worship me, whose God will deliver you from my hand?
Amen.
Well, let me tell you something. I don't know how this king knew that that was the Son of God. Amen. Because the Son of God wasn't born yet. He didn't say it looks like God. He said there in verse 25, it says the form, the fourth is like the Son of God. Let me tell you what, when people meet Jesus Christ, when we live a certain life, they should be able to see Jesus Christ in our lives. This fourth, there's four men loose, walking in the midst, and it seems like the fourth is as the Son of God. In Matthew 5:14, it says that we are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. When we become a child of God, when God saves us, God allows us to be a light to this dark world. God allows us to live in such a way that he wants to prove himself to the world through us. The Bible tells us that we shall be tried as gold in the fire. And when we're tried, we shall come forth pure as gold. We're going to go through the fire sometimes. As saints of God, God's going to allow us to get proven. God's going to allow us to take a stand like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Say, we're not careful how to answer you. Sometimes we people want to be cautious how to answer, or not to offend people, not to say that I love Jesus Christ, or where I go to church, or be careful. There's sometimes we need to just tell people just the way it is of how we live for God. And God will allow us to be put in certain situations to see if we will prove ourselves and show people the Lord. I want to take my thought from this morning out of verse 27. It says, and the princes and the governors and the captains and the kings and the counselors gathered together and saw the men upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was the hair of their head singed, neither were their coats charred, nor smelled of fire had passed upon them. The king looked at these men, and the people were looking at these men, and they seen there was a difference. And they found, the Bible says, they found no effect by the king's furnace. People are looking at you and I today. You make a comment and tell people I'm a Christian. You make a comment and tell people I'm saved. They're looking at you and I. They may not say it sometimes. They may not present it to you sometimes. But I can assure you they are watching your life. And one of the things they want to see is when you get into those hard places of how you're going to be. Well, as a man and mechanic working with tools, you smash your finger sometimes. I've seen people yell and curse and scream and throw things and all. I'm not saying it don't hurt. I'm not saying you don't grab it. And I'm not saying you don't yell out loud. But you're under control. You don't use foul language. You don't yell and scream and holler. Oh, I'm getting together to have a beer after work. Oh, I'm getting together to have a drink. I've been in companies for years, and in Christmas parties they had, usually have a little get-together at the shop and things, and they'll have cases and cases of beer there and offer it to me and things. I don't partake of that. The one company I've been, they used to go around and do the Powerball or whatever the thing is, the Mega Million thing that they play now. And they would go around and they would ask, do you want to pitch in? They get everybody in the company or whatever, pitch in whatever, $5 or whatever, and they would go buy a bunch of these tickets. When they would come and ask me and I wouldn't partake, after a while they realized they don't even ask me no more. They don't even come by. The saints don't involve themselves in gambling and the Powerballs and the rub-offs and all those things. The saints don't do. And people, God will allow us to be in situations sometimes like that to show people that we don't do that. One time I was at one job and I had bought some parts from the parts counter, and the way the shop is laid out, the office is way into that shop, and I'm all the way at the other end. And I remember, if I walk out, and there's a door in the back, that's where I parked my truck. If I walk out the door with the parts, even though the parts man knew I had them, it would not look proper. So I went and got my truck, and I pulled it in the middle of the shop, opened the truck, and I put the parts in. I wasn't trying to hide anything. Shut the door and things. The next day, my boss called me. He asked me about it. Well, they had a record that I had bought them and things. They don't know that. And there was two bosses there. They were talking to me. And I told them, I said them by name. I won't tell you the names. But I said, I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. And if I steal anything from you, the Word of God lets me know I have to repay that back if I make heaven. If I steal something from you, and I told him, I said, it would be so easy for me to walk out the back door with parts and you'd never see it. There wasn't cameras back in them times. I said, but if I steal from you, I have to repay you back. The one boss, he left. I think he was convicted of that and he ended up leaving. But God will put us in certain situations sometimes to see if we will prove ourselves. Plus, it's also a testimony to the world and other people. How many times people have stolen something from someone and seen a Christian have to stay true or go back and pay restitution? God has done that for people. I've heard that story. And when they weren't saved, they would steal. They would take something and God would convict them to go back and make that right. Maybe to a little store or something. Hey, I stole something from you. It was only maybe a $5 or $10 item, but God convicted me. And I'm coming back to pay it. Well, let me tell you what, that only another does God bless us, but let me that's a testimony to those that hear that. Yeah. Restitution, that's just one of many things. And let me tell you what, some of those things can be like being in a fiery furnace. Oh, yeah. Some of those things can be uncomfortable. Yeah. Some of those things you're like, man, I don't want to do that. But sometimes God won't let you rest until you come to that place. Yeah. People are watching us. And God will allow us to be, as I said in Matthew, the light of the world, a city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hid. I heard somebody say years ago, and this has been quite a number of years ago, maybe 15 or better more years. He says, he heard a quote sometime. He goes, you know, you can light a little candle, but the darker the night gets, the brighter that candle is. Let me tell you what, our world is dark today. Our world is so far away from the things of Christ, so far away from the things of God. When the saints of God stand true and stand faithful in the light of the gospel, they'll shine in this dark world that we have today. The king, in verse 24, asks a question. We see through three men, and I see five or four, and the fourth is as the Son of God. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 43. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 and 2, "But now, thus said the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he hath formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. In verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee.
Hallelujah.
And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee.
Yeah.
And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flames kindle upon thee." Thank the Lord. We walk through this world of sin, of corruption, of hypocrisy. We as saints of God walk through this world and face these things. But God says here to Isaiah in verse 2, when you pass through these things, and I brought a message one time that was a blessing to my heart and someone else one time. He says, when you pass through, that word through, going in the one side, I believe the definition is that, going in the one side and coming out the other. Thank God for that.
Yes.
God says, I'm going to allow you to go through this trial. I'm going to allow you to go through this fire. I'm going to allow you to go through this water. I'm going to allow you to go through by my help and my grace. I'm going to go through it with you. When you pass through the water, I will be with you. As a message I brought one time about that, God's not going to stand on the side and root for you. God's not going to stand on the other end and say, come on, you can make it through. God says, I'm going to go right through the battle and the fire and the heat and the waters and the rivers. I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, they shall not be burned. Neither shall the flames kindle upon you. The blood of Jesus Christ covers us, protects us, overshadows us in this wicked world that we have to go through. And it can be an effect to us in a great way. Back in the story of Daniel, not going to back up there, we'll just stay right here where we are. As Daniel, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, they were amazed. As I said, we've been around campfires sometimes, been around stove, been around things. There's probably not a one of us in here hasn't had the hair of her hand singed somehow by fire.
Right.
It's not funny, but light a grill. You ever seen anybody light a grill? Turn the gas on, you light it, and all of a sudden, after a while, that thing catches. So the ignition, the igniter don't light or whatever, and poof. And you feel it across here. You even might even feel it on your forehead and things. Luckily, you don't get hurt badly. But some people do. But we know what that means. But these three men went in there and they came out and not one part of their body was affected. Their clothes were not burned. Their clothes did not have the smell of smoke. The hair on their arms and their eyes weren't even singed. Nothing. That did not affect them. Because of the grace of God. Because he took them through. He helped them with it. And they all gathered together. And they were amazed. As I said to you a little bit ago, and this wasn't a thought from a message or anything that had to relate to anything, as I was praying even this morning, I said, Lord, I don't have a desire to leave a legacy. I don't want to leave anything in the world as far as my name being known, some whatever. I mean, we have song books and we have some history of this church of the ones that it came through that had written them songs when D.S. Warner all came through here and preached in this area and tent meetings and things. And they've been here. There's history. There's legacy of some things. They're going on to the reward. And sometimes some of those are honored and some different things and all. But I said, Lord, that's not my desire. But by the grace of God that I can at least be a benefit to the kingdom of God in some way. People are watching you and I. And I've always said, and I've been encouraged this, and I think the Lord's helped me to be encouraged. We may not have an understanding or a full realization of how we affect people until we make heaven our home. until there's somebody in heaven that maybe we spoke to, that maybe we talked to, maybe we testified to, and have never ever seen ever again. I think of some different ones in my life that I've talked to, and I mentioned before the time when Brother Frank and I were in Grand Caymans, and we stood on that bench and talked to that young girl, and she was intrigued. She was listening to it, and we departed, never seen her again. I thought to myself, you know, Lord, you can take that little bit of seed that we laid. Somebody else can help to water it, and you can allow it to grow. I remember my uncle was in the hospital, my father's brother. Trust I can get through this from doing this. And I went to him to visit him and talked to him about Christ for just a moment or two. And I knew the type of man he was. He was a very hard man, very, very, I don't necessarily want to say worldly, but he was a worldly man. But he was a shop foreman and things all his life. Very hard man, harsh in things. And I talked to him about Christ. And I asked him if he knew anything about Jesus Christ. He had a mask on for breathing so he couldn't talk. And he shook his head no. And I could hardly say anything to him because I was broken. And I got ready to leave and talked to him just a little bit briefly about Christ. And I bent over and kissed him, I think, on his forehead. That's about the only part of his body that was or his facial body. And as I did, I seen tears coming down his head. He died not too long after that. He was very well, bad off health-wise. But I thought, how many times may we feel that we've made a mess of talking to someone? Lord, I get the opportunity. You give them just a little bit of words. And you leave. But God can take that. And God can use that. They were amazed at what they saw with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. People can be amazed at your life and my life living in this world. They may see us. Sometimes we may not even get an opportunity to talk to some people very briefly, but God can allow our lives to shine in such a way that they can see the light of Jesus Christ in us and God can deal with them. People know when you're in the fire. And people see you when you're in the fire, when you're in the hard places, in difficult times. Do you allow that time to shine? Or do you hide it? Do we allow the fire to affect us? You know, Peter one time said he would never deny Christ. He said, Lord, I'll die before I deny you. But Peter had no idea what he was going to face. And before that day, Peter denied, he cursed, and he swore that he never knew Jesus Christ. The rich young ruler came to Christ looking for salvation, for eternal life. But he found out there was something that he lacked. We see that King Agrippa one time dealt with Paul. The Apostle Paul, and Paul testified to him and talked to him, and he finally came to a place, he says, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Peer pressure that we face. How are we when we are affected by the fire? There's many types of fires that we can go. Let's look at a couple of quick verses. Let's go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, Jesus said one time he was praying, he says in chapter 17, verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take him out of the world, but thou shouldest keep him from the evil. We're in a wicked world today. We're in a wicked world. And God to protect us, God help us. Help us from the wickedness of things. The king wanted people to follow his ideas. And as I mentioned earlier, things haven't changed. The world still does things to want others to follow. They make things, they design things, they put products out, all kinds of things, prestige of how I look at driving a particular vehicle, how I look at what kind of house I live in, how I look at what kind of clothes I have, how I look at how my hair, all kinds of things. They try to the stars of Hollywood, the stars of power, the people of power. As I said in the beginning of my message, there are people, they want to move up that ladder of success. They want to move up that ladder of political world. And some of the very first steps is to get in the picture. They may be, the president could be standing here, and they may be way back here, but they're in the picture somewhere. Their face is noted. My friend, my best friend Mark, of course, been in the military for over 30 years and been in several different wars and things, so he was honored when Obama was president, and they had him have pictures in his full dress and things, and kind of thought it was interesting. Mark's not really tall. I mean, he's not as tall as I am, but Obama must be kind of short. I don't know that, but he must be. So he says when they had a picture, because he was taller than Obama, so they put Obama on a little pedestal, so Obama at least was the same height to him and everything and things. But what appearance? What things look appearance? And it was a good picture for him. Here he is with the President of the United States, had a big portrait and things, and it's in his house. And I mean, he's not looking for that type, but some people, that's what they strive for. I want to be noted. Are we? Jesus says one time, I pray that you shouldn't take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil, keep them from the things. The king desired for the people to follow his ideas. Are we following the ideas of the world? Are we following the ideas of other people? Are we being influenced by other people, by other fashions and prestige of people? Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, this verse I believe applies to men and women both. In verse 9 it says, in like manner also, the women adorn themselves in modest apparel and shamed faces, sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. And I believe anytime in the Bible we talk about it says men, I believe we can put that in there with men and women both. Because there's a verse back in Deuteronomy that tells us back in there that a man should not wear the clothing that pertaineth to a woman, and a woman should not wear the clothing that pertaineth to a man. The fashions of the world. Here he goes into verse 9, the fashions of the world. That women should adorn themselves in modesty. Men should be in modesty. Be cautious how we look and how we present ourselves. Look as far as the fashions of the world, and modest apparel, shamefaced, sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. I haven't done a whole lot of weddings, and one of the main reasons I haven't done a whole lot of weddings is because we don't marry with rings. And many times I've often told people that, they've called me, they've asked me, I want to get married in the church, and I let them know, I don't use rings in my ceremony. And I remember one lady, she called me, and she was calling for her daughter. And I told her, and she goes, well, that's not a problem, I don't have a problem with that. I'm like, yeah, you wait till you mention that to your daughter. She called me back, she goes, yeah, my daughter won't accept that. I didn't bring it up today to study. That's a tradition that the United States brought up. I don't know, the United States, it was brought up years ago. But that part of the world, it's a part of the fashion of the world. We have to be married with rings, wedding rings. And that's a part of the fashion of the world that has been in a tradition. Has nothing to do. You know how they married back in the Bible? It's consummation. That's all it is. Wasn't any rings. There's all kinds of different ceremonies all across the world. They're traditions. They're just traditions of things. But people put them above the standard of things of God, whether it be gold or pearls or costly. Today we have people having all kinds of things done to their bodies. I think it's interesting. I seen somebody, where was I? I was in McDonald's yesterday. That was my birthday dinner. Not really. Not really. I was telling Sister Carol, I said, one of the things I like to do, I like to crab. So Lynn says, what do you want to do for your birthday? So we got up 3:30 yesterday morning, drove down by the Bay Bridge and went crabbing for about 6-7 hours. And on the way back, we just stopped at McDonald's and got a hamburger. But anyway, there was a guy in there, and he had a, I don't know if you call it an earring, but there was a guy. He had a hole through his ear, and he had a spike in it that long. I looked at that, and thinking, I'm like, but people are fashioned with the things of the world. Let me take on the clothes. Let me take on the look. Let me take on the hair. Let me take on the styles of things. What does God say? Modesty. The modest apparel. What a shameless of a, not sadness in a thing, but modesty of these things. There's a quote that I found that says, dare to be different. From the standards of the world, you are created in the God's image. David said one time, I've been old and I've been young. I've been young and I've been old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. You know what sometimes I think is more sickening? Is when older people try to look like young people. When they're 80 years old, 70, 80, and they try to look like their 20-year-old granddaughter. I was going to say daughter, but granddaughter. It's sickening. It's a disgrace to the individual, I think. The Bible says, that in one of the verses of the Bible, that Ecclesiastes thing, it says, the strength of a young man, or the glory of a young man is a strength. And I can remember when I was a young man, one time my back was out, and I remember laying in bed for about 3 days, and I would crawl, get out on the floor and crawl anywhere, and I had canes to get around. And I was young. Now, the Lord, now I know what that means, is the glory of a young man's strength. Thank the Lord that when I got over that, and thank the Lord I'm doing well on my back. But the glory of an old man is what? Gray hair. Not all of us like to have gray hair. We don't want gray hair coming in. Drops another idea with the thing. Then people, well, I want to cover that up. I want to dye my hair black or color. God says, no. Leave those things with the world. Be a part of the kingdom of God. Dare to be different from the standards of the world. You're created in the image of God. The three Hebrew children told the king, we wanted you to know one thing, king. We want you to know where we stand. Does our families, does our friends, does our neighbors, our workmates, do they know where you stand with Jesus Christ? Do they know where you stand with the things of God? Do they know where you stand with church? I thank God there's many of us here. They know where you are on Sunday and Wednesday. They know when revival comes around. I've had some friends that I haven't seen for years. They know where I'm at on Sunday. Not because I'm the pastor. So any of them may not even know. There's one particular, some of them don't even know I'm a pastor yet. Or then they haven't seen them in that many years. But they know I'm in church on Sunday. Our neighbors know you go to church on Sunday. My neighbor moved in, our new neighbors are next door to us. They're not new anymore. But when they first moved in, I was leaving for church one day, one Sunday morning. And I thought it was interesting. They were all getting in their car. And they have a little girl. And she seen me dressed as I am like this, I guess. And she says, where's Mr. Doug going? She goes, today's Sunday. Today's the day you go to church. That's not where they went. They didn't go to church. People know. And sometimes, saints, I believe this with all my heart. When they see you walk out of your house, when your neighbors and your family, they see you walk out of your house Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday, and revivals in church, they know that God deals with their hearts. That's where you need to be, is in church. And one day they'll stand before God, and God will say, you remember, want to influence you that you should be doing the same. They told the king, we're not sure, we're not careful how to answer you. Do we let the world know how we stand? Do we let the whole world know that we stand with Jesus Christ? One more verse of scripture, Psalms 121. Psalms
Picking up in verse, Psalms 121, picking up in verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence came my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. There again, as Brother Burt was mentioning in his testimony, God's there. Never one time has he put us on. He don't have a hold button at all. On my job, sometimes I don't get too many calls to where they usually send a call to me, or they call me over on my cell phone. I very seldom put people on hold. I don't even know how have. I don't know how to put you on hold. Wait a minute. Phones are really different today. They're not like the. They're not a hold button. There's a line and a park button, and you got to put them on park. That's what the hold is. But anyway, God doesn't have that. God says, he says there, David says in verse 3, he keepeth thee and will not slumber. Where's your help coming from? Does it come from man or does it come from God? The Bible lets us know man will fail every time. But God's wisdom cannot fail. There's a song we sing in our songbook. Are you standing on the promises of God? I think it's page 273. I had it written down on my note, but I didn't go there. Are you standing on the promises of God? That shall, I think that's what I meant. That shall not fail. I think it's what it says. We'll go quickly to it. I didn't write the verse down, I don't think. But it says it shall. There's a verse in there. It says, are you standing on the promises that shall not fail? Anybody recognize where it is?
Second verse.
Standing on the promise that cannot fail. That's a blessing. God's promises, he cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Are you letting the devil know and the Lord know? And this is the title of my message. Turn up the heat. God is with me. Do you let the devil know and God know, Lord? Go ahead and do what you want. I'm a member of yours. I'm a child of yours. This body is yours. It's being in a consecrated vessel, a sanctified vessel. Everything is on the altar of prayer. Lord, here I am. Use me however you desire. Do you let the devil know? If you turn it up the heat, by the grace of God, he's going to take care of me and take me all the way through, as we read over in Isaiah. Are you sure today? Can you say that?
Yes.
Turn up the heat. I know we can only say that by faith. We can't say it by arrogance or of our own power, but by the grace of God, I shall prevail. May the Lord bless you as we have a song.
Thank God. Amen.
Stand up. And turn the page to 175. 175.
God has sent the Holy Spirit to our hearts and on the guests. Deliver us from evil and to bring us peace and rest. He has come to work within us heaven's purposes to bless. He walks his way in me. Yield unto the Holy Spirit. Let him have his way with me. Feel already to bear. He leads to victory. divine my home with wisdom. Be the will of God of more, better, wider than thy chosen, be the way the heroes flow. He was with flesh in me, here unto the Holy Spirit. Lamb, have his way with thee, be ready to obey. Sometimes work in silence when thou dost not know at all. It does sometimes speak so softly, thou must listen for his call. But if thou wilt trust him fully, he will be thy all in all. He
seated for just a moment, please.